Welcome to the Entrepreneur Organization Business Podcast. I am your host, Lynn Pedetti. I am thrilled to introduce our guest today, Kieran Cato, the Managing Director of Cato Location Services. With a journey spanning over a decade, Kieran has founded Cato Location Services, which has now evolved into Australia's premier innovative company, specializing in traffic management, security, location vehicles, and production support crew. Now, this all-in-one solution caters not only to productions in remote locations, but also extends its exceptional services to the event and construction sectors. But that's not all. Kieran is also the owner of another two remarkable ventures called Street Strong and Oh My Pod. Now, in this episode, we delve into the intriguing realm of uncertainty that underpins businesses in the film and events industry. Kieran eloquently shares his insights on how he nurtures his mindset to seamlessly adapt to change and effectively cultivates a team culture that not only embraces change but thrives on it. Kieran's journey is a testament to the sheer tenacity required to not only survive but to flourish in the dynamic world of business today. Now, please join me in welcoming Kieran. Hi, Kieran. Welcome to the show. Good to have you here.
Hey, Lynn. Thanks for having me.
So, Kieran, I just wanted to have a chat with you today and just hear your story around pivoting, because I hear that in your industry, there's always something going on, especially during COVID and everything else. But before we get started on that topic, let's share a little bit about yourself and how you got into this industry in the first place.
So I sort of fell into the industry, I guess. I met a producer whilst traveling through Europe, and when they arrived to Australia, they reached out, and I had the opportunity to come and work on a few million dollar sort of feature film, all shot on the beaches here in Sydney. And really enjoyed it. I had a background in sort of hospitality management and a little bit of construction. And then 6 weeks on that shoot, it was pretty crazy thinking back to it. Working sort of 80, 90 hour weeks. And loved the fast pace nature of it. Had the opportunity to then go and work on The Great Gatsby, which was shooting in Sydney.
Leonardo DiCaprio movie?
That's the Leonardo DiCaprio movie, yes. So, I did get to meet Leo, and so I was working on that one in a very similar sort of role as the first film, and then got picked up a few months into it as working as Toby Maguire's personal assistant. So that was Leo's best mate. Interesting side of things and working as someone's PA, which I had no prior experience to, came out of that and literally started the business after Great Gatsby.
So what year was that? And can you explain a little bit more further around, like, what, how does your business work? Like how does it?
So my role on Gatsby was essentially, before I was Leo's assistant, was sort of managing the back of house. So you're kind of a little bit of hospo background, event logistics. If you're shooting on a location, then you would come to our department, which was called the unit department, to set up your tables and chairs, all your infrastructure. You're the ones that have the coffee machines, the water. You would be the first one there, the last one to leave. Driving the truck, so driving the green rooms, make up wardrobe vehicles and setting up all that. So that was essentially what I got into, and it's kind of like a bit of the problem solving fixer type role on set. After Gatsby, I decided to work more in the TV commercial space, less hours, but maybe a little bit more money in that side of things. And then from that, very shortly after that, I saw an opportunity to get into traffic management. So traffic management specifically for film shoots. I discovered that there was only one company in the Sydney market providing that service. And I just thought, well, that just seemed obvious to have an alternative. Um, So with my construction background, that was, you know, fairly easy sort of transition. So we were still doing, we were doing the unit side of things, and then offering traffic management services as well.
So when you're mentioning traffic management, is that when there's a shoot on and you guys are just like blocking the whole road and no one can get through? And
yeah, well, that's it. Yeah. So you see it on construction sites. Construction sites are nice and easy. When you think about a film, you've got some major stunt scenes. You've got a lot of moving pieces. You go from having, you know, a small team to, you know, some shoots. Peter Rabbit, for example, filming Peter Rabbit here in Sydney, you know, just over 100 traffic controllers to lock down the road, make it safe for these stunt scenes when you've got, you know, bunnies getting chased by cars and whatnot. So yeah. So that's essentially that. From that, you know, saw another opportunity to also add security as a service. So so essentially security and traffic management, they sort of go hand in hand on set. And then a few other services sort of float on after that as well.
Okay. So in your business, you've got the people aspect where you're hiring security guards or traffic controllers, and then there's also a vehicle that you have to invest in. Like, what does it take to actually run a company like yourself?
Yeah, sure. So obviously traffic management, you need to invest in a lot of utes and trucks, small trucks. A few years into setting up the business, I saw an opportunity to buy out another company that was providing just the trucks in the industry. So it's a company called Honey Wagons, and they're essentially an area where your cast member would go sit, get their hair done, their makeup done, they like chill out in there. So they would sort of working hand in hand with the unit department anyways. So there's a fair bit of investment in that with, you know, about 7 of those vehicles now, and a fleet, collecting fleet of, you know, just over 20 vehicles.
Well, before we get into the business questions around, like, you know, your challenges of having to add on new services or pivoting, and how is it like to work with celebrities? Like, what did you think they were, and what did you discover that they are like in general? I know they're all probably all different, but, like, you know, we sometimes think, well, celebrity, they're like, wow, you know, up on the pedestal. Yeah. But what are they like as people in general?
Look, some are great. Some are really great and really down to earth. Obviously some have those barriers around them. So, yeah, you're very, very hard to sort of see who they really are, I guess, and maybe a bit of a facade put up. Some are challenging. You know, working with Tobey Maguire was definitely a challenging experience. I think one of the things that I've seen is a bit of advantage. I don't really get starstruck with a lot of them. Mm-hmm. So, it's just another worker there. Yeah, there's definitely been cases where, I've not known who the celebrity is, and I've had to, someone's like, oh my God, you don't know who this is, and pull them up. So I'm like, yeah, okay, all right, now I know. Tobey Maguire was one of them, initially didn't know. See Spider-Man, who he was, and this and that. But some of them have been really, really nice. You know, Jackie Chan. In particular, working with Jackie a number of times now is really down to earth. And just really grateful as a human. So it was really nice to work with him and get that sort of respect here.
Yeah, that's interesting. And I think I can't imagine a guy going, I think it's just girls like us who are like, you know.
There's definitely guys. There's definitely guys. I've had some mates who were Leo fans. Just want to hang out and just see where he was. So there's definitely some people, but yeah.
Okay. So what year did you start Cato? And over the time, how many times have you had to pivot? And what were some of the pivoting points where you're like, you know what, I need to add this on?
So we were established in 2012. So I got back from overseas backpacking in 2010. And then, 2 years later, started the business. Pivoting or adapting, I guess multiple times. I think my role on set has always been, you know, that fixer type person. You see a problem, how do we overcome this? You know, we want to shoot in this location, but nobody wants us there. How do we make that happen? You know, the challenges around, you know, the logistics of, you know, pulling off a shoot 4 kilometers above sea level, you know, in a remote country, you know, in Asia, you know, when you've got Will Smith, you know, what sort of problems that, you know, you're going to face there and how to get to it. That's the day to day. And then when you apply it to business sense, yeah, you just need to look at what other options are out there and, you know, what's most viable. I think, and, you know, every EO, every entrepreneur, you know, goes through this on a, you know, on a daily basis. You know, during COVID, obviously, was, you know, we all saw some significant challenges in the entertainment space significantly. You know, we lost, about 2016, we pivoted into the event space, so working just in large-scale events and government events, doing traffic management and security. So when COVID hit, and we went down to 500 capacity events, we'd lost, you know, so much business. Within a couple of weeks, we'd lost all the films as well. So it was probably around early April that first year where we decided to look at, you know, how we'd sort of shift. This is before JobKeeper had sort of come in, and you know, we didn't have those assurances. So we moved into the COVID space, so doing traffic management for those COVID testing sites, those very long queues. And that, you know, without that, we wouldn't have got through. That was saving grace. I had also established a couple of other companies during that time because I guess I wasn't as busy doing the day to day that we always get caught up in. So I had a little bit more time to think about, you know, other opportunities. So one of those companies was in the COVID space doing testing. So we started facilitating PCR testing and rapid antigen testing, predominantly in the entertainment space. On some film shoots, I'm not sure, you know, most of the public are aware, but the volume of testing that was required, like some sites you're getting tested every day, five times a week. And that was going on for 2 years because if the cast members got sick, you'd be shut down for a couple of weeks. I also started another company in the construction space. So I guess there was a lot of uncertainty as to when the entertainment space was going to start back up. So I there was some positive publicity, I guess, about construction and infrastructure and government investing in these sorts of areas. That's how we're going to get through COVID. The government's going to throw money at roads and infrastructure. So I established a company called Street Strong, which essentially paints roads. It makes roads and streetscapes more beautiful. So projects such as the Barangaroo Rainbow or Coogee Rainbow, a lot of those sorts of high color streetscapes, we've been involved in. At first I thought, you know, maybe this is just something that would get us through COVID. Business is still, it is going strong. We've sort of doubled the size from what we were in COVID now. And then that's and one of the advantages of that business is you're always working on a road. So it was able to then incorporate my main company, Kato, to do the traffic management for it.
I love it. It's so interesting to hear that from 2012 till now, which is like, 11, 12 years. Yeah. And it sounds like it's a very volatile business where it's like the industry itself is just so rocky. And yet you remain strong of always pivoting. Like, what's your mental process on how to handle this? It's like, it sounds like if you can really see opportunities really quickly and you're like, you know, let's go, let's do this, let's do that. It's like, I want to know, how you think, why you think that way. Yeah, just a little insight.
Yeah.
Your mind.
I guess. Yeah, look, I do what I can, a little bit of meditation, that sort of stuff, a bit of sound healing. I've only sort of been getting into that last year. What else? I don't know, what else are you going to do, really? Like, you know, you've got to just keep going.
Have you ever wanted to give up and go, you know what, maybe I'm just in the wrong industry. Maybe I should just go and get a job. You know, like, have you gone through, or you're like, there's only one way?
It definitely does crop into your mind. I think there's certain times where you will have doubt, but you overcome that, and it's usually when you're having a really bad week. You know, you've had a number of people problems. You know, your clients cancelled on you, and at the end of that week you're feeling down, but come the next week you find something good about what's happening. And yeah, I know we've got a great business. We've actually just gone through another pivot again. Who would have thought that the film industry would have had two major blows in just such a short amount of time? So there's significant there's strikes going on in America at the moment that's having an impact. So yeah, actors and the writers are striking. There's talk that might continue until early next year. So that affects Australia, because some fairly large projects were slated to come here and shoot here. They didn't start. Some of them are on hold, on hiatus. We're still working on some of the Australian content. Heartbreak High and Home and Away. Colin from Accounts season 2 is coming out shortly as well. So there's a few little ones, but without having those blockbusters, it's definitely challenging. So we started probably about 9-10 months ago to move into the construction space, just providing traffic management. And as we're seeing now, it's a lot steadier demand. We're working on some major infrastructure with state government projects. So
traffic controlling doesn't necessarily mean it's for the event, the production company anymore. It's for other projects, government projects and things.
Yeah, exactly. We essentially assessed it and just looked at, we provide great people to keep you safe when out on the road. So it doesn't need to be pigeonholed to just events or films. Construction works well. And what we've seen is it's actually more challenging to find great people to work on a film than it is in construction. Because to work on a film shoot, you need to not only understand how to manage traffic, but you also need to understand the intricacies of being on a film set. The various protocols and the hierarchies and the terminology that's being used. So what we're seeing now is the retention of staff's a lot better. We're getting probably more regular shifts as well, because construction industry is usually 6 till 3:30, whereas the film industry, you could be shooting. Your day might start at midday, and then tomorrow might start at 7 p.m. and work through the night for a night shoot. So those sorts of challenges we don't have so much of.
So, I know that you pivot really well and you're the owner and you're like, all right, let's go. How do you actually get your team on board? Like every time that you've moved, it's like, how do you persuade them, to move towards that way? How long does it usually take? What usually happens to your own team? Do they freak out, or are they embracing the pivot?
I hope they're embracing because we're doing it so frequently. So the team's actually grown so much during COVID. That was one of the great things that, I got out of COVID this year. We went into, 3 or 4 full-time people. There's now 14 of us, and they're really on board. I think they saw us pivot so quickly that first year of COVID. So it's kind of like, if we're not pivoting, it's not Cato. If we're not thinking outside the box about how we adapt, then who are we? So I think they're all definitely on board, and it is exciting going into a new market and seeing success and win so quickly. That's a testament to, it's not just me, it's everyone there. It's a testament to what they've done and their commitment to the organization. So
yeah. So what advice would you give to other business owners for your experience in terms of how to cultivate a culture of people not being afraid of pivots and adapting, and even now, has it changed the way you hire? Like, do you go, hey, just so you know, our company, our DNA is we adapt, we change, and, how do you kind of attract those talent or cultivate that?
So I definitely communicate the story when, where we are. So my involvement in hiring these days would just be at the senior level. Communicating, where we've come from is definitely important. Having a great people and culture manager, you're trying to obviously look after your culture. Then that's, and if there's any organization out there that's looking at growth and you don't have somebody on like that, then I'd say that's probably one of the key people to sort of look at investing in, because, ultimately you want to be bringing on people, but you want them to be the right people. So you need to get someone strong in that seat. And we've got a great people and culture manager, so I'm very happy to have her. Having the team sort of, potentially communicate the story as well. So, my sales manager, my operations manager, Anna and Claire, both of them, they're on board. They know the journey that we've gone through, and they communicate it well. So, they'll often go out and we do a lot of events in the industry where we're talking and communicating in various forums, and they'll often start, they go out instead of laying out. So,
yeah, very good. Okay, so at this stage, you've got some key people in your company. Like, what does Kieran do now? Like, what's your role in the business? What's your day to day priorities for you?
Yes, I'm still very much in the hot seat, because I think it's important when you are going into new sectors, and when we're still growing, we're not, by all means, there's so much more growth to be doing, and it is an exciting time to be in business, I guess, with the there's a lot of changes out there. There's a lot of AI stuff. There's a lot of systemization, a lot of things that you can be thinking about implementing in your business. So that's one of my sort of OKRs in the organization, to sort of look at what we can be doing in that space. So I'm not on set as much these days, but there is a plan to sort of bring that back in, because I really do enjoy problem solving on location and being at some pretty cool locations. So last year I had the opportunity to work on a project in Bhutan, and it sort of sparked something in me that I'm like, okay, I need to get back out, I need to get out of the office a little bit more, and so focusing on maybe sort of two of those projects a year would be ideal. I'm working from home this morning, and then I'll go in the office this afternoon. So probably a fairly standard, general manager, managing director sort of role.
So you're spending more time kind of learning, being able to bring in ideas to the business and get your team to execute, and you also get time to do some like CEO sleep out as well. So do you want to share a little bit about your love for that initiative?
My mother got me involved years ago. So she used to work St. Vinny's, and I never thought I was a CEO. So I was like, I don't think I can do that well. I'm just like a business owner. I'm not really like a CEO type. Yeah, it sounds a little bit too suit and tie sort of thing for me. I went along about 3 years ago. And it was quite an eye opener, just in you know, just in terms of the people that were doing it tough, there wasn't, you know, they were just normal people who had just had a couple of bad things happen. And, you know, and you're talking to somebody who was a lawyer who has, you know, gone through substance abuse and then all of a sudden has lost his family and his business. You know, you're talking to, there's a lot of female, you know, people who, you know, females who are, you know, on the street. And, you know, a lot of them have just gone through situations where, you know, their partners have been abusive, you know, mentally or, you know, physically. And, yeah, it's quite challenging to see that happen. And there aren't too many opportunities for them. Like housing, for example, there's a shortage of housing. You know, it can be 25 years away for somebody who needs a house to get that sort of support. So it's not super, it's not a hard night. You know, doing the sleep out, it's only one night of the year. Every year I meet so many great people. You know, so, you know, yeah, from the premier to, you know, Lord Mayors of various councils that we work with. So my pledge for next year is to bring along another 20 people, and I'm hoping we can get at least 10 to 12 from, you know, from EO. Hit us up if you're interested. But yeah, look, yeah, I think it's important to, you know, to be leading a, you know, in a positive way. So yeah, I'm involved with you know, COC about now 4 years. I've just joined up with Youth Off the Street as well, which is a program that Isla Chris Riley established. And that's working with, you know, younger people to, you know, perhaps, you know, change their path at an earlier point. You know, so working with, you know, late teens to,
Yeah, that's really inspiring, Kieran. I can just see your heart here. I feel like you've already inspired me with your kind of courage and constantly pivoting despite all these things going on out in the world. And, you know, and you participating and contributing to the community is just amazing. So I guess I'll leave it to with this last question is, ultimately, what do you want the world to remember Kieran for?
The world. I don't think I need to go out to the, you know, I think my family and community, I guess just, yeah, living a good life and doing what I can. Doing what I can. I've got two young children, so I think it's important, especially anyone with kids, to obviously set a great example. I had great parents who set a great example, and they had great parents who set a great example. So I think that's important. In terms of business, we don't want to be the biggest, but we want to be known as the go-to, you know, the best option, you know. You know, we're leading, you know, in so many different ways. You know, so we're on the pathway similar to yourself, but for B Corp. We're a few weeks away from being certified carbon neutral, which I believe we'll be one of the first traffic management companies in Australia to receive that. And I think that's, you know, I'm, the aim there is hopefully others will see that and start to do something good as well. And I think every business owner should ultimately be responsible for the environment as well. So yeah, it's a good path to be on. But I think the main thing would be like children and family, and that, you know, look up and respect, and I have that. So that's great.
That's beautiful. Yes, it all starts from at home, and then I could just see that you just want to make a really great impact on your children, raise the next generation of amazing people like Kieran. So thank you so much for being on the show today.
No worries, Lynn. Thank you for having me, and thanks EO for having me. I'm only about 9 months in, and I'm absolutely loving it.